saying here is that we have everything that we have to have in the physical world to be ready for redemption is already here in the physical world. In other words, there have been many great tzaddikim in earlier generations who indicated that spiritually, that spiritual redemption was already, everything was prepared. But the physical world was not yet a keli, was not yet a vessel. What the Rebbe is saying here is that not only is the physical world a vessel for redemption, but all the aspects of redemption that have to come down into the physical world are already here. So not only is the physical world is a fit vessel, there's only one ingredient that's missing in order to go to the final stage. And the ingredient that's missing is the recognition and awareness of what is already here. That's the bottom line. That the problem is not that there's something that's not yet here. The problem is that there is a lack of awareness and recognition and appreciation for what is already here. People are not yet up to, people have not yet come to the realization of what we have, and therefore are not ready to move on to the ultimate. If people would already be in a state of awareness and appreciation and understanding, actually understand, see and hear what we already have, what is already here, what is already the reality in this world, then that would be it. That is Geula on the individual level, and then we can move to the final stage where everything is fully out in the open.
But what's the symbolism?
So when the Rebbe says, so when the Rebbe talks about that, the Levyasim, the Sherabat and the Ayin HaMashoma, that you could actually understand and see and hear that that is ready, the way I understand it is that the Rebbe is talking about the physical manifestation of those spiritual concepts. In other words, there is Levyasa Sharabar and Yayan Amashoma, which is referring to a specific fish, a specific cut of meat, and a specific source of wine. I don't think that they're ever saying that there's some way to actually see that that is already here. That the particular cut of fish, or the particular slab of meat, or a particular cup of wine is already here, especially because the very description of the events that will lead to that fish and that meat being cut up has, in the physical sense, has yet to take place. Okay, if we're talking, I mean, because the Rebbe in the earlier Sukha discusses the whole, you know, the shechting of the Sherabar
by the Levyasim,
and the Rebbe discusses as an actual halachic issue. I mean, in other words, that is, so we're talking about an actual physical event where the Levyasim fish will slaughter the Sherabar with its fin, and this is going to be an actual halachic issue. And the Rebbe goes into great detail to explain how this form of shechita will become accepted. And the Rebbe says it's going to have to go through a psak din of the Bez Nagadol. So all of this has certainly not yet taken place, because we don't even have a Bez Nagadol to make this psak. And certainly, so this battle between, if the battle between, if we're talking it as an actual genuine halachic issue, then we're talking about an actual physical contest that will take place between the Levyasin and the Sherabar. and the Levyasin will gore, the Sharabar will gore the Levyasin to death. The Levyasin will slaughter it with its fin. So clearly that event has yet to take place. And we certainly do not have a Bez Nagadol to paskin that a Shchita with a fin is kosher in the case of God himself and so on, as discussed at length in that Sicha. So clearly we're not talking about actually seeing a prepared piece of fish, a prepared piece of meat, a prepared cup of wine, as indicated by the Sichas of the Rebbe himself. So therefore, but yet the Rebbe is saying that there is something that we could already see as a physical reality. So my understanding of this is that the Rebbe is referring to the Chassidic concepts that Levyasin, Sharabar, and Yayin HaMeshumah are physical manifestations of certain spiritual concepts. The Rebbe is saying that the physical manifestations of those spiritual concepts are already apparent in the world. And there was a gathering which took place a number of years ago, a Yom Iyun, in which I discussed at length and in great detail the what those things are in Chassidus, Levyasin, Sharabar, and Yayin HaMeshumah. And I'm not going to go into it at length over here, but we could make available those tapes. Okay.
But it's something physical you could see.
Yeah.
What? Okay, what is it? You don't have to go into the whole thing, but what's giving?
Basically, talks about that each one of these things represents. For instance, just Levyasin represents the idea of the connection between godliness and the physical world in very specific terms. I mean, in how you could see that. Sharabar represents the forces which either forces which oppose godliness or forces which conceal godliness, that those two will ultimately be elevated. These things can be demonstrated in the physical world as we see it today. And similarly, Yayin HaMeshumah represents the revelation of the innermost secrets of existence, both spiritually and materially, which, again, we at that time demonstrated in great detail how one could open their eyes and see how all of that has been developed in a very open and revealed way in the physical world. That's just, you know, giving you the tip of the iceberg. And I mean, basically, the Rebbe even takes it a step further. I mean, the Rebbe says that we are holding that we only have to open our eyes to see the complete redemption and to study the Torah of Mashiach in a manner of seeing, which this is already all prepared. This is all ready. You only have to open your eyes and you'll see it. So that means that I was taking it even a step further. The whole concept, you know, is that's the clue that the Rebbe is giving us here, that Teras Yishal Mashiach Be'eva Sharia, that today we could study Torah in a manner, we could study Pnimis HaTorah in a manner of seeing. And what does it mean to study Pnimis HaTorah in a manner of seeing? Study Pnimis HaTorah in a manner of seeing is that you could, that those things which were previously known only as concepts, which existed in the world of the intellect, can now be discerned as physical realities, can now be tested in through scientific, empirical criteria. You could actually prove the things which were previously heretofore only spiritual concepts, and in fact the physical realities seem to deny those spiritual concepts, and therefore you could, what you learnt was contrary to what you saw. You had to go beyond what you see in order to understand what you learn. You have to be able to look past what your eyes are telling you in order to understand what Chassidus was teaching you. And in fact, the classical example of a Chassid deeply immersed in the study of Chassidus is a Chassid sitting off somewhere with his eyes closed and thinking about the ideas of Chassidus. It's not just a coincidence that a person is able to generate greater concentration with their eyes closed than they are with their eyes open, and therefore the Friedrich Rebbe Nesichus always paints the picture of the person sitting with his eyes closed. But it actually goes deeper than that, because Chassidus was basically, the message of Chassidus basically goes contrary to the messages of your senses, as illustrated by the famous story of the Chassid who heard a maimer from the Alter Rebbe about the concept of Ein Eid Mavadli, that nothing exists outside of God. And he was walking in the street late at night, there was no street lighting then, and concentrating on this concept, and he banged his head in the brick wall. So now he had a conflict. He knew, on the one hand, it seemed so clear to him that nothing else exists outside of God. On the other hand, he just got a bang on the head from a brick wall. So if nothing else exists outside of God, how could he get a bang on his head from a brick wall? And therefore he came to the conclusion that nothing else exists outside of God except his head and the brick wall. In other words, the idea of this story is to illustrate the inherent conflict between the teachings of Chassidus and our perception of the world. The teachings of Mashiach will be able to learn in a manner of seeing means that our perception of reality will back up experientially what we understand intellectually. In other words, it's through our senses that we experience the world. It's through our minds that we understand reality. It's through our senses that we experience reality. The study of the Torah of Mashiach in a manner of seeing means that what you learn is what you see. You'll be able to see that as the reality. And that is something that the Rebbe was saying, that if you open your eyes properly, you'll actually be able to see that all of those things that previously existed in the form of intellectual teachings, which were generally perceived as being, as running contrary to the experience of the senses, if you look properly, you could actually see that as the reality. You could see that every one of the teachings of Chassidus is now, every one of the concepts taught in Primus HaTorah are now, not only do not run contrary to experience, but that you could actually back it up with your own personal experience. You could actually see that as the reality.
We said last year, we were mentioning that this Indian that Rebbe had said that the closest thing in the Goyish philosophy to Chassidus, which actually developed in very recent times, was this Indian of the existentialist philosophy. That would that be a mashal of this type of Indian where the Geula or the Emes is being expressed now in things that are in this generation?
Absolutely. I mean, clearly that's a mashal for such a type of thing. But of all the mashalim that are available, that is probably one of the more tenuous ones, because it's still ultimately in the realm of philosophy.
Right.
Chiddush is that you could demonstrate these ideas very much in the physical world, as we discussed at the last Fabrengen, which many concepts which run contrary to historical experience and traditional experience, we have today successfully proved begashmius, physically, that the reality is not the way it has been traditionally perceived.
My question is really like this. Take any example, if it's in the business world, that they're giving meiser, like we said in the Fabrengen, which is a tremendous chiddush that is only happening now, and revealing elokus, revealing the reality of the Geula. But nonetheless, it still has an element of klipa in it, right? It still has like a profit motive, a self-serving motive, right? Now, what I'm trying to understand is what is the nature of this thing that is now expressing a gula reality that has within it some klipa? Is the essence of the thing klipa and the outside expressing gula, or is the outside of the thing klipa and the essence is gula?
Okay. The answer to that question is that when we say that the world is a keli, the nature of a keli is that it does two things at the same time. A keli covers over what's inside it. But it also, a keli makes it accessible. It allows what's inside it to be expressed in the proper way. In other words, if you take a vat of wine, from a vat of wine, if you want to fill up glasses of wine from a big vat, you can't do it without making a tremendous mess. What you need to do is you have to get a spigot which will channel the wine into a stream and pour it into cups that will now make it possible for the person to drink the wine. Okay, so the cup contains it, but at the same time it also makes it accessible to you. So the function of klipa ultimately has a function, which is that a shell is meant to preserve and protect the fruit. And in fact, in fruits, as opposed to nuts, Chassidus makes a distinction between the peel and the shell of fruits and the peel and the shell of nuts. The peel of a fruit protects the fruit, but it also, in many cases, is in itself edible. But it also has elements of the shell which express the fruit. In other words, an orange, the shells of fruits have bright colors and other things to indicate that there's something good inside here. Nuts, on the other hand, and the shells of fruits make its contents readily accessible. Those that are actually edible, you could eat the peel with the fruit, and even those that are not quite edible, but it's very easy to get to the fruit inside. Nuts, on the other hand, are very hard. The coloring is like the coloring of seeds and bark of things which are not edible. Okay, so there is nothing about it which indicates that there's anything useful or edible inside it. It's very hard and difficult to get to what's inside it. And it has to be cracked and broken, and the shell itself has no use. So there are things in klipa which exist only to be broken and discarded. But there are things in klipa which exist in order to contain the revelations of godliness within the physical world. So when we say that the physical world is a keli, we mean that the physical world, with all its inherent limitations, including the limitations of natural urges and desires and the natural selfishness that is built in to the physical world, that in itself is ultimately a keli to all the Giluyim of Elikus. In other words, that, and this we touched on Malav Malk, that the ultimate refinement of the physical world is not through a person reaching a state where it's completely unselfish, and they have no selfish urges, needs, or desires. No. The ultimate making the physical world a keli is where a person is selfish and has selfish needs and wants and desires and utilizes and channels those selfish needs, wants, and desires into the service of God. So in a way, it's a bigger gilui elokus for a person to give miser for selfish reasons than it is for a person to give miser for completely altruistic reasons. Because it in a certain way, when a person gives miser for purely selfish reasons, he just wants to make, he just doing God's will brings in more money than not doing God's will. So what he's, in a way, what it's expressing is that the reality of God is the reality of the physical world.
There's no conflict, no...
The ultimate idea is that the person, the angle, the difference is that what the guy who's doing this, okay, in this example given, the guy who's giving Maisa because he knows from experience, from his physical experience in the material world, he knows that it pays to give Maisa, to give charity. You do better when you give a tenth of your earnings away. And there are guys who are very vigorously and actively publicizing this. Unfortunately, more vigorously and more actively than the people whose mission on this world it is to publicize things like this. So when they're doing this, the problem, the only thing, they're missing one little ingredient, which is what we have to teach them. When a Jew gives miser, a Jew is ultimately functioning from the realization that his selfishness is not an end unto itself. His selfishness, that the only reason why God gave him selfishness was also that he should use his selfishness to express the reality of God. So in a sense, he is living within he's experiencing his selfishness and transcending his selfishness at the same time. So the Jew is expressing God through his selfishness, but from a position of transcendence. He is higher than his own selfishness.
So even though superficially it might seem that he's doing it for selfish reasons.
Not superficially. In actuality, he's doing it in order to make more money.
Okay.
But he knows that the whole reason, but he sees that as he's doing it because that's his mission. His mission is to be a neshama which in and of itself is higher than the world, and to come down into a physical body and to come down into an animal soul and experience selfish desires and utilize those selfish desires to express the truth of God.
What?
The guy, on the other hand, he is living in his selfish desires kipshutei, and he thinks that's the ultimate end. To him, the Ratzon Hashem is the means to the end, and the selfishness is the end. It's the Jew that has to teach them that you got it right, that, but it's the other. But you just have it backwards. You have it right. The Taka Elam Hazar Gashmi is now a keli to manifest the fact that that one's selfish desires and Ratzon Hashem go hand in hand. But you just got it a little backwards. The selfish desire is the means, and the Ratzon Hashem is the end.
So it's really two
But on a deeper level, but Pnimis and Yonim, they have it right. Because the end is Adira Batachtena. The person has to experience the world as the worldliness as the means, and the godliness as the end. But the truth is that in the ultimate plan, godliness is the means, and the worldliness is the end. Because the tachlis, what the Eishes really wants, is dira b'tachteinu. But in order to experience that reality, you have to first come to the point. You have to first experience the worldliness as the means. And godliness as the end, and only then can you actually see how ultimately the world is the tachlis, the world is the end. What is a dir b'tachtonim? A dwelling place in the lowly realms. Hasidus explains, based on the Medrash, that is the purpose of creation, that God wanted a dwelling place in the lowly realms.
So
physical world.
In a way, they're really expressing the Gula in two ways. One is just, on the obvious way, they're giving Maisa.
Right.
The second is that it's Dafka in in the selfish motive, right. Although it's not complete.
Right.
So it's absolutely. Really two things.
Absolutely. That's what I was saying, that if you learn in Yonim Shir HaGeula and you open your heart, your eyes, and your ears, you'll mamash understand, see, and hear that we're living in a whole different world. I mean, that's what he's saying here. I'm not making this up. It's not interpretation. The Rebbe is saying if you would learn Chassidus,
yeah,
and especially in Yonim that pertain to Geula, and you look around you in the right way, you'll open your mind, your heart, your eyes and your ears, you're going to see and hear and understand a whole new reality.
So
everything that's going on in the world today is mamash is school.
Maybe I'll ask another question. When they ultimately get it, that they even have to transcend, what we have to teach them is that the selfishness isn't the end point. Right? Does that come with Ruach Tumah Avi Min HaAretz, or is that something that comes...
Not necessarily
that we
at
just
all.
Teach
I mean,
them?
No, the Rebbe, I mean, clearly the Rebbe's agenda is that we give out that message now at this point. I mean, in other words, even Ruach Tumah Avi Min HaAretz could happen in one of two ways. I mean, even if we say that it comes from the Avi, it could happen in one of two ways. It could happen in a way that, poof, you go to sleep at night, and you wake up one morning, and poof,
it's
the
gone.
Spirit of iniquity is removed from the earth. It is gone. Okay? Or the Hasidic way of doing things, I mean, it would seem to be that fakat, that creating a world in which it just has no place.
Or the yin
it just has no place. There is no...
Incompatible.
You know, it's so beyond the pale. It's so beyond any kind of. It's so obvious and manifest that it's not just wrong, but counter to any to any accurate reading of reality, that it just has no place. Four words. As pertains to actual deed, action. We bald as the chibur on the shama v'gluf, the ruchnius v'gashmius is shoven. I'm sorry, is shein da b'shleimus. Since the unification of soul and body, of the spiritual and the material, already exists in a most complete state. Okay, that being the case, when sis shein alts muchen to the gula. And everything is already fully prepared for the redemption. We have to do things which will reveal this in actuality. So the first thing that we can do to actually tap into this new reality, that Gashmius and Ruchnius are already not in conflict anymore. Okay, the Rebbe says we're living in a new world where Gashmius and Ruchnius are no longer in conflict and they're completely unified. That being the case, we have to access that reality. So the first step is studying, increasing the study of the teachings of the Mittler Rebbe. Dafke be'efen for Ruchavis ha'noir de bina, v'sabint Ruchnius v'Gashmius kanal baruch. Specifically, learning Chassidus in a manner of the expansiveness of the river, which means in a way of a really solid and broad understanding.
What should somebody learn of the Mittler Rebbe's?
Anything. Und der Limit Bazaar ist Scheich zu alle Jiden, Anoshen Benoshen. And the study of this is pertains to every Jew, man and woman. Okay, this time we're saying that they should learn Torah in a way of Rechavis Hanor Debina, the Torah of the Middle Rebbe. This Hanor pertains both to men and to women. Kimaduba Kama Palm, as Limanach Siddhis Vafatsa Mayanus Chutza, is Shaykh Papashtus, Echtsun Mashiach Bnei Yisrael. I've spoken many times that the study of Chassidus and the spreading the wellsprings outward is Shaykh Papashtus. As much to Jewish women and daughters. And especially that through this process, it brings the revelation of Melech HaMashiach. So certainly women are, it's just as relevant to women as it is to men. Mashiach is no more, is not more of a man's issue than a woman's issue. So when are we starting the women's share in the middle of the episode?
Good question.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell your wife, give me a call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you
dare hire him? That's all. No. Get out of here with your mother, Shchaira Gedalia. Don't give me no mother, Shchaira. The Rebbe has letters. The old Derech Chaim, he's talking there about the crying wipes away the sins. And the Rebbe says in the Igris, the Rebbe writes to hundreds of letters. It says the crying has to be from sadness, the crying should be from joy. Tears of joy. So, you know what I mean? The Rebbe takes everything. You know. So leave your marashchaira with your horses and you know. I'm saying even the middle of Rebbe, which this Torah expresses more in a more open way than others, the concept of the bond of the unification between the spiritual and the material. Talmud Gadol Shem Eivu Deimaisa. And study is great, that it has the power to bring to action. Page 152, the last paragraph on the page. Das Areis bringen im Meis of Avedu Bepoel und sich ablehnen von der Mittler Reben, was bei ihm ist Areis, Schleimis Avedose, Beteres Achsidus, in Gashmis Aguf Va'ilam, Zman und Mokim, in Malish Nisei, in Yem Liyem, to bring out into action, into actual Avedu, what you learn in the teachings of the Mittler Rebbe, and to learn the lesson from the Mittler Rebbe himself, that the expression of the completeness of his service in the teachings of Chassidus was expressed into the physical body and the world, in time and space, that his life was filled from day to day. As by Yadre zol zayn ahestadlus miyuchedus, so areis brengen und megal zayn die ruchnis und chassidishkeit shaloi in zayn gashmis. That everyone should put in a special effort. Okay, hishtadlus miyuchedus means a special effort to bring out and reveal his spirituality and his chassidishkeit in his gashmis. That this is not something that should just, you know, it's not just a concept, but you should look for ways and opportunities, okay, that the gashmis side of your life, to express your spirituality and your chassidishkeit into your gashmistika of fears. As in seine gashmistika in yonah, that in your gashmistika material affairs, und in seine zman, und in sein zman und makam gashmi, and in his physical time and space, whatever you happen to be into at any given time or in any given place, so sich anhören die Warmkeit und Lebendigkeit von sein Jüdischkeit und Chassidischkeit. He should feel, sense the warmth and the life of his Jewishness and his Chassidishkeit. Bis be'efen as his nitok in pirut b'neim klau, was his an ein zach ma'amish. The fact is that most people, okay, when they're in shul, okay, and they're, you know, they're inspired, they're in shul, so they feel a burst of energy, they feel, you know, they're davening, or they're learning something that gets them really going. So they feel alert, awake, and they experience the warmth of what they're learning, or of the davening, or of a Shabbos meal. Or everyone has moments in which are more spirit, you know, which are more spiritually receptive, in which they feel more alive. They feel Chassidish, more Yiddish, more Chassidish. But those, for most people, those times and places are few and far between. The certain times and the certain places where you have that kind of experience. But for most people, when they go out and they're dealing with, when they're eating breakfast, or when they're going to work, or when they're sitting on the train, or when they're, you know, in different places and different times, where they, you know, to just go about, they just feel like they're going through the motions. Okay? There's times when you have the inspiration, you feel awake and aware and inspired and but those are unique times and places. For the most part, you go through life, you schlep through, you're on autopilot, and you go on, you carry on with your life. And then, you know, and sometimes it spills over into the times and places where you're involved in ruling. Sometimes you bring your gashmis with you, and you're davening is boo, and you're learning is boo, and you're falling asleep, and you're drifting away, and you're yawning, and you're somewhere else, and whatever. So Tereb is saying that there should be a special effort in this time to reveal. Again, the Rebbe is not saying to create, to generate. The Rebbe says that is already the reality. The reality is that the Gashmi is a perfect vessel for Ruchnius. That there's no such thing as a place, and there's no such thing as a time that's not suited to experience spirituality to its fullest. That, there's no such thing. There's no distinction in times and places. All times and all places are opportune moments to experience your Yiddishkeit and your Chassidishkeit to the fullest. But the Rebbe says you have to take out the time and the effort, you have to put in the effort to actually have that experience. It's not going to happen by itself, it's not going to happen automatically. You can access this reality, but it takes work. You have to use it. You know what I mean? You could have the biggest, most powerful computer in the world, but if you don't plug it in, and you don't hit the on button, and you don't type in a command, you can have all this energy and power at your fingertips, but if you don't use it, it's not getting used. You have to do little things. Compared to what you're getting out of it, it requires relatively little effort in order to reveal what's actually here. It's here. You're not making it happen. It's all here. You're just revealing what's here by plugging it in, turning on the switch, typing in the command, and so on. So similarly here, the Rebbe says, this reality that every time and every place is a perfect vessel for a religious, spiritual, Hasidic experience. That's the reality. But you got to plug it in and turn it on. So the Rebbe is saying, so Maisa B'Poyel means try it out. Maisa B'Poyel is, let's be scientific. Try it out. So take every time and every situation. Do what it takes to make it an inspiring, energizing Jewish and Hasidic experience. See if it works.
Is this, in other words, it explains in Tanya where it talks about like halavai, I forgot the lashon exactly, but halavai is palal adam kol yom kula or something.
Yeah.
That he should be at that level the whole day as in his davening.
Right. So
is that what we're saying?
That sure, Al-Tareb, yeah, makes one of the distinctions that Al-Tareb makes between the Tzadik and the Beinoni is that the Beinoni is up during davening because it has a special quality that time of the day has, and also the place that he's in, that he's in shul. So the time and the place enable him to achieve something which he cannot sustain throughout the day. When in the other times of the day, which are not times of Meichin de Gadol, the other times of the day, he cannot sustain that level of experience. In other places, not in Shul, he cannot sustain that level of experience. Why? Because there's a conflict between the spiritual and the material, which material Gashmis is Manu Makam, time and place. So there's times that are more receptive to Ruchnius, and places that are more receptive to Ruchnius, and there are times and places that are less. So they're saying, there ain't no such thing. Whereas by the tzaddik, the Rebbe says, there's no difference between him, between his avodah, but during the davening and the rest of the day. The reality that he experiences during the davening, that's his reality for all day. So the Rebbe is saying, that's the reality that we're living in today. There's nothing, every time and every place is equally as receptive to living with the godly awareness and experiencing your spirituality to its fullest. Every single time and every single place is equally conducive. You just have to utilize that. That's goal. That's the mitzvah. That's the reality. That's the goal. You just have to do it. That's the avodah of Ma'aseh B'Poyel. Neisif lozeh. In addition to this, zen ein ordnen b'chol makom makom chassidische verbringens. In addition, one should see to organize in every place chassidic verbringens. Anhaven Dikin of Chayagul from the Kislev, starting with the holiday of redemption, the 10th of Kislev, Rod Redden, Lanabit Teresh of Balagula, and there speak and learn from the teachings of the Balagula, and Anam and Achlatus Tevis bin Yonamana. To take upon oneself good resolutions in the aforementioned matters. Kelel Eich, including also, Achlatus Samachin de Achonis Matimus of Einor Nuchsidish of Habrengs of Vadis Gedeles, including resolutions to make the proper preparations to organize Hasidic gatherings and large Hasidic gatherings on the Yutas Kisr Chayagul from the Alter Rebbe, on the 19th of Kisr, which is the holiday of redemption of the Alter Rebbe, on the Zen, Ton, B'chol Makum, Makum, B'chol Katz V'Tevu, B'zafil and Apinu Nidahas. To see that this should be done in every single place, because every place is equally a vessel for this in all corners of the world, till even in the most far-flung corner, Zez yed the vinkel in welt, Gashmiz Eilm was gefilmt sich in so sein Dukunum mit der chassidischen Lichtigkeit und Warmkeit für Jutas Kislev Rosh Hashanah. The point that every single point on the globe, every single corner of the physical world where there are Jews to be found should be completely permeated with the chassidic light and warmth of the 19th of Kislev, the new year for chassidus. Und sie soll mir nicht manchmal sein, die chassidische Verbrengung zum Beispiel durch Kedisch Kislev und fragen die Jungen, die Chodov abunden mit Teres Achsidus und Dark Achsidus. And so, which one should continue these Chassidic gatherings throughout the month of Kislev, especially in the special days which are connected to the teachings of Chassidus and the ways of Chassidus. Wir sehen, was sieben Kedisch Kislev machen, es weidies, wir möchten die Mehr Chanukah, till in the end of the month of Kislev, making Verbrengung throughout the days of Chanukah, und in dem Geist von Baleichen sich und dem Arum mit die Neres Chanukah, auf Pesach, Besuch, Bechutz, and these gatherings should be in the spirit of illuminating oneself and one's surroundings with the lights of Hanukkah on the doorway of one's house to the outside, in the manner of ever increasing light from day to day. Including as per the custom of our Rabbeim, to make parties for the family members on the days of Hanukkah, and to give out Chanukah geld to the members of the family, befrat to the kinder, inglach and medlach, especially the children, boys and girls. Was b'shas yeder is mekayim d'minig mit pirsum hamatim, which when everyone fulfills this custom with the proper publicity attendant, unnach be'safa barchava, and also increasing and in an expansive way, b'chmeisiv zayin and gemu Chanukah geld b'ribui, through increasing and giving Chanukah geld in large measure in a plentiful way, was durch dem Kunzun der Simcha bei den Kindern, that by increasing the ante, the take, this adds in the joy of the children. Verbinden sich noch mehr durch Kiemen und Gzemmet, Rabbi Seinu und Seinu. When you give your kids more Chanukah geld, you're more connected to the Rabbi. Was das gibt noch mehr Kerz, zu reinbringen, sehr teilen, sehr erreißen, sehr in Hagen mit dem eigenen tagtäglichen Leben. Which this increases even more the ability, the power, to bring their teachings, their Torah, their teachings, and their customs into one's own daily life. Okay? Here again, the emphasis that the Rebbe is bringing out is even our custom, which seems to be a simple custom, not a primary key central issue to Hasidic life, such as Chanukah geld, something that's on the surface that most people just say, okay, yeah. It's like it's no big deal. The Rebbe here emphasized that the more each one of these things that we used to saying, you know, maybe it's not so important, something that we know that the Rabbeim did and that the Rabbeim taught, that to do it in the greatest possible measure, to do it in an expansive way and not to be cheap, and to give and that in itself makes you more connected to the Rabbein. When you take every one of their teachings and you really put yourself into it and do it in a big way, then even things which are seemingly not primary issues in the Hasidic lifestyle, that in itself makes that their teachings and their directives and their whole way of life becomes more a part of your life. Including and especially also the Jewish custom, which is spreading ever more in our times to learn in Yoni Gula and Yoni Mashiach, to study matters of Gula, matters of Mashiach, Bechtei Zich and Andere Nachmet Zugreit to the Gila from the Gula Mitzvah Shleim Kana. In order to prepare prepare others and oneself even more for the revelation of the true and complete redemption as stated earlier. Yiratz Nas from the Mdiva V'Kabbalah Sachlat the Stages in Yonim Elu Itzta. Yiratz that through the discussion and the acceptance of good resolutions in these matters now, so the Shenglach Ares Brengen Begilu Yitigula Mitzvah Shem Yedem Shil Zitkenu Leinei Basuf and Yadarid and Ala Idin. This should immediately bring out in a revealed way the true and complete redemption through Mashiach Zitkenu to the physical eyes of each and every Jew and all Jews. And immediately all Jews go. They're carried on clouds of the heaven, together with all of our actions and all of our services, together with all of our physical possessions, all our material fortunes, with their silver and their gold with them, together with the small houses, the mini sanctuaries, from Eich Dibat and Prati, and also the private houses. The Melevel and Allah Zichah Gain B'Tzayna Matoy, and since everyone's private house is going along, so surely everyone is going to get on the cloud voluntarily, and won't feel that they're giving anything up. Well, Chazayin and Gansin, okay, there's some glitch here. Is that in Gansu what? Let me see.
No, that doesn't have it down there.
No, there's a glitch here.
Yeah.
Which are completely Gansu Shein Durchgenum and Gevarim et Erach Sidus Kedushas Anasham Kanal, which are already completely permeated with the light of Chassidus and the holiness of the soul, as we said earlier, it says, "Shachanti v'seichem, I shall dwell within them." And Arzeinu Hakdeshim, we take all of this into in our holy land, the Yerushalayim Rakedesh, in the Yerushalayim.